Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Republicans have gained some seats in the California legislature, and that follows a national trend. But first, the Norwalk family says their dog went missing after a Petco grooming appointment. Believes they are getting closer to finding their dog. Natalie Davidian reports that the company is flying in some trained bloodhounds.
Those bloodhounds will come to Aubrey's home, where she'll give the tracking team her beloved Betty Lou's dog bed, toys, and they'll retrace her steps in hopes of finding the pooch. Aubrey tells me that they had to see it with their own eyes to see how exactly Betty Lou disappeared, and they were just able to see that security footage.
And what they said was true. She was able to slip out of the leash that was put on her, which it wasn't that blue lead that they usually use for dogs in the grooming department, which was against policy, and that is on the groomers, you know, that's the groomer's fault. And she ran out of the store, and there were many people that were right there that saw it happen. Everybody looked confused and shocked as to why a dog was running out of the grooming department and out of the door.
The dog trackers, she says, will be flying in from out of state on Saturday. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
An Orange County Sheriff's correctional officer may soon be inside a cell, Emily Valdez explains.
33-year-old Roxana Laub of Santa Ana pled guilty in federal court to two felonies for bank fraud and identity theft against her 75-year-old grandmother, stealing money from her over several years,
totaling approximately $45,000.
U.S. Attorney's Office spokesperson Karen McAvoy.
She admitted in her plea agreement that from December 2015 to January 2017, she forged her grandmother's signature, her grandma was 75 years old, on more than 20 checks from grandma's bank account, making them payable to herself without grandma's knowledge or permission.
Laub will be sentenced in April. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
A man has been arrested for stabbing a 75-year-old woman to death in South Pasadena. Josh Atkins has been booked on first-degree murder and burglary. He's being held on $2 million bail. The arrest comes at the end of a five-month investigation into the killing of Susan Miller in June. Her grandson, also booked on suspicion of first-degree murder and burglary. Motive still not clear. A woman had to be rescued after falling into a 15 to 20-foot maintenance hole at the former site of the Carousel Mall in San Bernardino this morning. Somebody heard her screaming, called the fire department. When they got there, they saw her trapped at the bottom. She said she fell in the night before. A rescue team of 20 people got her out. After about an hour and a half, she was taken to the hospital with some moderate injuries. Some Orange County supervisors want independent audits of where COVID relief money was allocated. The audits would include Congressmember Michelle Steele's contract with her campaign mail vendor while she was a supervisor. Steele is currently in a very tight re-election race. She's currently trailing Democratic challenger Derek Tran by just 314 votes. Karen Adams has more.
The scrutiny comes after former Orange County Supervisor Andrew Doe pleaded guilty to bribery and the misuse of COVID relief money. Now a supervisor wants an internal audit of Representative Michelle Steele, who, while a supervisor, awarded $1.2 million in money to feed the elderly during the pandemic to the company that printed her campaign mailers in 2020. Supervisor Vicente Sarmiento says the company is not in the food industry. He and other supervisors also want to hire an outside independent investigator to review how they go about the people's business. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A statement from Michelle Steele's campaign, quote, politicians seeking headlines should quit lying to their constituents. The company in question is DTN, a logistics and event management company, which was given a contract to manage a meals program. Separate audit was completed and approved by the county. Campaign goes on to say if the county wants to conduct another lawsuit, then Michelle Steele welcomes it. A former LA County supervisor is going to ask a court to throw out his fraud and bribery convictions or at least grant a new trial. Mark Ridley Thomas was found guilty last year voting to support county contracts favoring USC. while accepting benefits for his son from the university. He was serving on the LA City Council when those convictions came down, sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. His lawyers will go before a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to make their case. They'll argue there was no direct evidence of a quid pro quo and that the selection of jurors was flawed. Northern California City is paying a shoplifter nearly $1 million. The woman who stole thousands of dollars in cosmetics won the settlement from Brentwood in Contra Costa County after a police dog bit her and tore her scalp while police were arresting her. Police Chief Timothy Herbert defended the officer handling the dog that day back in 2020, saying his actions were justified. He says the city decided to settle the lawsuit to avoid more legal costs. Now, her lawyers claim the dog attacked her before cops gave her a chance to surrender, and the officer had to pull the dog off of her after it ripped off parts of her scalp, exposing her skull. Northern California is starting to be pummeled by an atmospheric river storm that's bringing the region some torrential rain and very high winds. Sonoma County firefighter Karen Hancock gave us the impact on her area of wine country.
We've got a lot of flooded roadways, and we're asking people not to drive through those flooded roadways. Please turn around, don't drown. But right now, the creeks and streams are rising, and it's impacting a lot of our roadways in the rural areas.
Storm systems moved south from Washington State, where it hit as a bomb cyclone. 2 deaths in the Seattle area being blamed on this storm. We're still just over 2 months away from a second Donald Trump presidency. Trump says he's ready to drill, baby, drill. And we'll hear from a pair of experts on why that could be good or bad for the country. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.
Election 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Latest election results show Republicans set to pick up 3 extra seats in the California legislature. It's going to be the first time in 10 years that the party's made any gains. Democrats still hold on to a super majority in Sacramento, but is this a sign of a GOP comeback in the state? Joining us now, talk about that, is Republican strategist Tim Rosales, based in the state capitol. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So does this mean that California is turning purple?
Well, I wouldn't go that far yet, but I do think it means that Republicans did do a good job communicating on issues that were important to voters. So namely, economic issues, cost of living issues, as well as public safety. Those were 2 things that Republicans communicated to voters on extensively in this election. And I think voters responded, and we see that with the pickups in the state legislature.
There are some other political experts who look at this here in California and say this is part of a national trend of Republicans and conservatives gaining ground. But that said, is that really the case when you consider the fact that a Republican in California is quite different than a Republican in a red state?
Yes, absolutely true. I think you look at California Republicans look and talk a little bit different than what you see out of Republicans in, you know, in the southern part of the country or even the Midwest. California Republicans, absolutely. Cost of living, economic issues, public safety, you know, those are the things they're talking about. You know, on social issues, you might find them to be a little bit more moderate, as well as, you know, that's where some Republican voters are. And certainly you have independent and Democratic voters who crossed over this election and voted for Republicans looking for those types of candidates they feel like will actually address the issues and the problems that they're facing on a daily basis.
Part of the story here is Republicans making some inroads with Latino voters. If that is the case and the Republican Party in California can build on that, does that point to a bigger change maybe on the way for the state?
100%. I think you see Latino voters are often thought about as Democratic voters, but Latino voters are not monolithic. They are just like every other voter group out there. There is a diversity of opinions, diversity of issues that they care about. And you see Republicans, Latinos like Suzette Valadares from the Santa Clarita, Lancaster, and Palmdale area winning handily in a seat for Republicans, picking up a seat in the state Senate. You also see Latino Republicans winning in the Inland Empire and even down south in the Palm Springs area up against Democrats in predominantly Democratic districts. So certainly, I think it bodes well for Latino Republicans.
And we're looking at these other trends, the anti-crime Prop 36 measure that was opposed by Governor Newsom, that won with a big majority. Also, voters turned down an increase in the state minimum wage. Is that something that, say, more center-left voters in California, that makes Republicans look a little bit better to them?
I think so. And I think everybody, you know, no matter where you are in California, you see public safety and crime as, you know, something that was a top issue for you in this past election. And certainly Proposition 36 is an attempt to fix that. And voters approved it overwhelmingly. I think, you know, that's an issue that tends to favor Republicans a little bit more, public safety and crime. We saw, you know, George Gascon getting defeated pretty handily by Nathan Hochman in the LADA's race. Although, you know, Hochman is an independent, certainly tends to be a little bit more center right on the politectrum. So that's where voters minds were at this election. And I think it really spoke to the problems that they were facing on a day-to-day basis. And they saw that the Democratic Party, at least in this election, was not doing a good job addressing those concerns that voters had.
Republican strategist Tim Rosales, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
One of Donald Trump's big goals for his upcoming administration is to increase U.S. oil production. We're going to hear from a pair of experts on what that means for the country.
The Trump Transition, the latest from KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Environmental campaigners say they fear the impact of the incoming Trump administration on climate change and steering away from fossil fuels. Charles Feldman and Margaret Cuero got more on Countdown 2024 from Benjamin Jealous, executive director of the Sierra Club.
If there's good news, is that we've been through this before. We have a playbook, if you will, from the first Trump administration. We sued him more than 300 times. We won overwhelmingly in those cases. We put in Freedom of Information Act requests against his nominees to show their corruption. With that, we helped to drive out his failed EPA chief, Scott Pruitt. We did find some bipartisan agreement, passed the bipartisan Great American Outdoors Act, and we actually still managed to accelerate the pace of shutting down coal-fired power plants. So, as the nation's oldest and largest environmental organization, founded more than 130 years ago, the only one in every state and every corner of every state, we are very aware that our agenda is more popular than President Trump himself.
You know, he has talked about wanting clean air and clean water on one hand, then promising the quote, right? Drill, baby, drill, more oil and gas drilling. You have called that notion clueless. I mean, you can't have both, right?
No, you really can't. I mean, here's the thing, right? When you're burning coal, for example, you're also releasing mercury. And that mercury is pernicious, and there's a lot of surface mercury in lakes, for instance, that comes from that. When you're talking about, the CEO of Duke Energy said recently that Trump's policies make her want to burn more coal. Well, there's an actual algorithm for each coal-fired power plant that shows how many people they kill each year and how much increasing production would kill, you know, how many more people would be killed each year. People being killed by asthma, COPD, heart attacks, you know, various cardiac and respiratory issues. And so it's a very serious thing. And that's even before you get to climate change and increasing the power of these superstorms. And so it's phenomenally irresponsible.
They also got the views of Dan Eberhardt, CEO of an oil field services company, also a donor to the Trump campaign.
When you drill an oil well, it's only going to last for 3 to 6 years. So if you're going to need more oil in year 7, year 8, year 9, then we need to drill another one.
And so is that the deal to maybe, would you say, take an assessment of what we have already and see where we need to build new ones?
Well, I think it's more based on supply and demand for the market. But I think if we think the economy is going to keep growing and our energy consumption is going to be similar to what it is now, then we need to keep drilling just to run in place, is what I would say.
But is this oil, in your mind, that would be for domestic consumption or for export?
Generally for domestic consumption. We export very little. In fact, we're still, even with all the oil we produce, we're still importing about 20% of the oil that we consume. Well, what we do export, and where I think we can grow exports, is natural gas, which is predominantly produced in Pennsylvania and Louisiana, Arkansas areas.
And is that where the fracking comes in?
Yeah. So we use fracking both oil and for natural gas. But I think natural gas is potentially an export market that we could grow considerably, in the next 5 to 10 years.
So we mentioned that you're a donor to the Trump campaign. So why do you think that he would be better for the oil future in this country than, say, Harris would have been?
Well, I think that the Trump administration is more focused on energy costs for consumers and less on curbing development for development's sake. So I think that you we will have a stronger overall economy and energy costs will be lower for consumers.
And check out Countdown 2024 on KNX News, 2:30 every weekday afternoon, also weeknights at 8 o'clock. It's also available on demand at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. All you have to do is search Countdown 2024 and then follow the show. That's your nonstop news at 5 for Wednesday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.